Real faith, the kind of God faith, will cause us to take the steps that God has ordered. Now, when God orders your steps, you're going someplace. If you have faith in God, not just your faith, but faith in God, you are going to go someplace. You see, because faith is not for Christians or people who want to live in their comfort zone. We want to live in our comfort zone. But faith takes you outside of your comfort zone. Amen? We want, but we don't want to have the faith to get to what it is that we want. It's too hard. Somebody might talk about me. They don't believe in me. But the scripture says that faith is the substance of things not seen. Hallelujah. Faith is not for couch potatoes. Uh-oh. There's so many couch potatoes in the church today. And I don't have to tell you who you are. But if you don't come here from Sunday until Sunday, I want to know what you're doing. You're not at work. You're not at work. Everybody ain't at the gym. So what are you doing? Couch potatoes. Faith is a mix of spirituality and a passion of prayer. And I say that because we got prayer lines. And how many people get on the prayer line? How many people get on the prayer line? You don't have to answer. Do you want to know something? I know. Faith is spirituality along with your prayer life. You can't just have faith, but you have to have prayer along with faith. Amen? The only way that we're going to be able to reach where we're called to reach is through faith. Faith is not a destination, but faith is the vehicle to get to where God wants you to get to. It is the gas that you put in that vehicle to get you to where you got to go. So if you don't have faith, you're not going anywhere. You can sit in your car all day, but if you don't have gas, you're going nowhere. You can want all you want to want, but if you don't have the faith, God can't take you where he wants to take you. Amen? The only way to scale walls and bridges is to do it by faith. Now we see this word faith scattered all throughout the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It talks about men like Enoch, Abel, Moses, Abraham, and many others. But it talks about how they were moved, how they worked, and how they survived by faith. Not only does faith move you, but you can survive by faith. We live in a world where the strongest survive. Now, we all ain't the strongest physically, emotionally, not even spiritually. But by faith, we can survive. Amen? There is a popular connotation right now that's going around, and we need to get past this. Amen? What's going on right now is this little combination that faith is a mental attitude rather than a spiritual conviction. I don't know if you got that, so I'm going to say this one again. That it's a mental attitude as far as a spiritual conviction. You see, everybody wants you to think that, oh, you got to have this real positive attitude, and your mind is strong enough to get you to where you got to get to. You have the strongest mind that you want. Amen? But it is God that gets you to where you got to get to. So it's not about your mentality. It's about a spiritual connection with God. You don't need Dr. Phil. You need Dr. Jesus. You don't need all of these things that Oprah was telling you about. You just need Jesus. Amen? These distortions are all the things that the world has infused with psychology and theology. Amen? But real potency comes from the heart of those who are faithful to a true God. Amen? This is the mandate that Jesus set forth to his principles. And he made it simple and he made it clear. He told them, have faith in God. I'm going to send you out there. People are not going to be welcoming you, but just have faith in God. He says, I'm going to send you out there. You don't need to take anything with you. Go with nothing. Just go. But have faith in God. If I told you today, go to the corner and start witnessing to people, you're going to come up with a bunch of excuses to me right now. Those disciples could have had many excuses to give Jesus. But he just said, have faith in God. Now, there's a big difference between having faith in faith and having faith in God. We have, a lot of times, we have faith in faith. You see, when we have faith in faith, we have faith in what we can logically think that we can do. But when we have faith in God, we realize that we can do exceedingly abundantly, just like God said. He says, I'm going to do things, but you can do greater. So if I can do greater, that means that I can do exceedingly abundantly above if I have faith in God. In this time that we live in of changes and challenges and crises, we are commanded, as Jude would say, to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What does that mean to me? That we have to contend for the faith of our mothers and our fathers and our grandfathers and our ancestors, because the faith that they had took them places. Amen? The faith that they had, we are the result of the faith that they had. The faith that they had, they could see nothing. They had nothing, but they had faith in somebody called Jesus Christ. And look at us today. There's nobody in here right now that can tell me that their grandparents knew where we would be today. Some of them wanted, they had faith that we would be free men. Some of them had faith that we would be off of an island and somewhere else where we could make a decent living. They had faith. They didn't have money, but they had faith. We got a little bit of money, and we ain't got no faith. I'm going to go back to the beginning. We have plates and tables that are filled to the brim. We grew up where parents and grandparents, where everything was reasonable and feasible, they ate it. We throw so much garbage away, so much food away. It's disgusting. If your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents could see this waste today, they'd look at you like you don't know what you're doing. But they prayed that one day their offspring would have plenty. And we got plenty. So they had a faith that was far above and beyond where we seem to have it today. They had a real faith, an uncut faith, faith so potent that it transcended all the barriers. When you have a faith that is so potent, you don't even have to tell the enemy to run. You turn around. You turn around and he's gone. You have a faith so strong. When you walk into the room, everybody can feel it. The woman with the issue of blood had a faith so strong that she just touched the hem of Jesus' garment and he stopped. That is faith. If it happened then, it can happen now. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm asking you today, is your faith taking you someplace or are you on the road to nowhere? You see, because you might be on that dead-end job. That's a road to nowhere. But if you have the faith that Christ is talking about, you'll be on the road to somewhere. You might not know where you're going, but you're on the road to somewhere. Have you ever seen somebody who didn't accept what people did to them on a job? And all of a sudden they get fired and you turn around and they tell you 6 months later, that's the best thing that could have happened to me. You have to stand up in your faith. When he says to contend for the faith, you have to stand up against the enemy for your faith. And you know what's going to happen? The enemy's going to fight you. But we cannot back down. You got to contend for your faith. Because where God is, he already knows that these people are going to get rid of you. But he's saying you don't need to be here anyway. I don't want you on the first floor so every time the door opens you feel the wind. I want you up in the penthouse on the whatever floor so you have a good view of everything. I don't want you working, answering the phone for somebody. I want somebody answering the phone for you. I don't want you to be the tail. I want you to be the head. But if you have the faith that God can take you there, he will take you there. Maybe you just want to get married. You really want to get married, but you just can't find the right person. Maybe you're just tired of the way you're living. Maybe you're just in poverty and in need. Maybe you are frustrated with unfulfilled ambitions. This is when the enemy torments you with worry and fear and the cares of this life. One of the biggest killers of us are stress. No matter what you say, one of the biggest killers of us are stress. And we should be the stress-freest, I just made that word up, the stress-freest people in this world. Because the enemy don't tell sinners, oh, just do what I want you to do. Just cast your cares on me. Don't worry. But Jesus says, don't worry. Just cast your cares on me. I can handle this. There are numerous accounts in the Bible of people who obtain the unattainable by following God's instructions with unquestioning faith. They refused to be defeated because they didn't allow their circumstance to determine their personality. That's another way to say it. They didn't allow their circumstance to determine who they are. See, because when I say personality, your personality is into everything that you do and everything about you. See, your personality is reflected in the car that you have. I didn't say it has to be a new car. I said the car that you have. Because you can have an old car and you could keep cleaning it and cleaning it and cleaning it and it's still looking good. Your personality is reflected in the clothes that you wear. Amen? You can walk around with your pants hanging down or you can walk around with your clothes hanging up like you know, like you got some sense. Amen? Personality is reflected in your personality. Amen? Circumstances does not determine their personalities. The outcomes did not determine their destinations. What we learn from them is that faith does have a destination, but the circumstances didn't determine it. Faith determined it. And faith must be determined and also persistent. When we really believe that God can do the impossible, that he is able and willing to do so, we are willing to trust him in any situation. You ever been in a situation, and you don't have to answer this, where you take your trust and your faith back? The enemy puts you in those situations. You take your faith and your trust back. But when you learn to rely on God, you keep your faith and your trust there for God. Amen? He can only work in persistent and determined situations. Amen? We learn to overcome fear knowing that God is in the middle of our messes and he is always near. You see, because faith always moves forward, it never backs up and turns around. Faith doesn't allow and doesn't follow man's rule, nor does it let man's rule reign over it. Amen? Only the slave mentality of people that are bound, because sinners are bound. Their mentality are bound. They're slave. Only the slave mentality of people that are bound by their own attitudes can short-circuit faith. Faith please God. Satan wants to steal that, and he wants to make you ineffective in the kingdom of God. But God provided a redemption for mankind by sending his son to destroy the works of the devil. You see, Jesus is our example, and he showed us that by faith it is the key. It is the key to being productive. You see, when that door is closed, you use that key called faith to open it. When the doctors say no, you use that key called faith for healing. When your relationships are going sour, you use that key called faith because he can do exceedingly. How many things? All things. You see that promise that we all know in Isaiah 54 and 17 that says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper? It is the heritage. Nobody says that word, but it is the heritage. You know, when you have a heritage, nobody can take that away from you. You understand? When you have a heritage, it is part of your DNA. When you have a heritage, it's ingrown. When you have a heritage, it's just a part of you. When you have a heritage in Jesus Christ, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. It doesn't say that there is no weapon formed. There's weapons being formed right now. But it's not going to prosper. It means that irrespective of what the devil does, irregardless, it's irrelevant, because no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. The key to living this no weapon shall succeed against you is to serve the Lord and live by faith. Amen? So if your faith is not taking you anywhere, your faith needs to be reactivated. You see, faith is the key to victory that makes you an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Oh, I know I can do all things myself. No, I can do it. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Therefore, I am an overcomer through Christ. Because I know and I have the faith that Christ is going to strengthen me. No matter what the situation, Christ will strengthen me. It is the key to positive changes in your life. Hallelujah. I didn't say changes. I said positive changes in your life. Things change every day, and everything ain't positive. But if you want positive changes in your life, you got to have faith. Hallelujah. You got to have faith. Because there's going to be changes. Commit your ways unto the Lord and trust him to know what's best for you. God has given us faith, but faith has a price. You don't get something for nothing. Listen, that man that died on the cross, for us, he wanted us, but look at what he did. Nobody's getting something for nothing. Amen? You can go back to your 220 millionth grandfather called Adam and grandmother called Eve, because we had it made in the shade. But after that, we had to start paying for things. Amen? All they had to do was just keep the trees wet, feed the animals, name them, have fun, multiply. But you know, it's just like us. We get a good thing and we just can't handle it. You ever see somebody get a good thing and they can't handle it? You get a promotion in your job and you want to still be that same person that's working on the loading dock. They put you in the office and you still want to have sit up there and swear and cuss like the person on the loading dock. God will put you in places and then you don't know how to act. Everything God has given us has a price. Faith has a price. Faith will take you straight into the heart of danger. Faith will take you into the presence of your enemies. It will take you through the shadow of the valley of death. Faith took Jesus to Golgotha and to the cross. Faith took John to exile on the Isle of Patmos. Faith took Peter to have him laid upside down, crucified on a cross. Faith took Paul to Rome and had him beheaded on Nero's chopping block. But faith never failed them. It never failed them. Amen? Faith took them to their death, but it took them through death and beyond. So where is your faith taking you? The Bible refers to it many times. What is it? The dictionary says faith is a firm belief in something for which there is non-proof. I don't know. To me, it sounds like they got that from the Bible. It sounds like they got that from the Bible. It says it's belief in something that is non-proof. And then it says the next thing says belief and trust and loyalty to God. So when the scripture says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence not seen, that faith is the substance, faith is the title. You understand? You buy a house, they give you the deed, they give you the title. You buy a car, they give you the deed, they give you the title. That mean is yours. Amen? So faith is the substance. So faith is the title of things hoped for. That means it's a declaration of the action of faith. The evidence of things not seen. The things not seen are not based on our senses. It's based on uncertainty. But rather, it's based on certainty. The certainty is the word of God. Because if God said it in his word, it's true. So when man tells you to have faith in him, you can't have faith in him. Because we like this. Everybody in here has been like that one time or the other. You ain't lived the life always straight through. You've been a little shaky sometime. Amen? I don't know what it's been, what it was, but you've been a little shaky sometimes. Somebody, you say you wasn't, somebody can come here and throw some shade on it. That's what they say, right? They throw some shade on this stuff that you're saying, I ain't never been shaky. The word of God is never shady. It's never shaky. It is a rock that we can stand on. See, Peter thought he was talking about him. He says, upon this rock I built my church. No, but the rock is the word of God. The scripture says, for by it, that means by faith we shall see it. For by it the elders obtained a good report. That means the approval of the Lord. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, there's no mispronunciation in what I'm reading right here. It says the worlds, plural. It says the worlds. Doesn't say the world. It says the worlds. Were framed by the word of God. See, I'm just going to just say this. We like to take God and put him in a little box. Evidently it's big because it says he created the world. Is this deity that we call God. Even if we just looked at this world and this universe, we're limiting that. But in his inspirational writing, he told somebody named Paul, put this in writing so people can read it and see it. And if they read it enough, they'll see how awesome and how big I truly am. But all I'm asking them to do is to have faith in me. I'm not asking them to create a world. I'm not asking them to make anything. I'm not asking them to fight the devil. Let me do the fighting. All I'm asking them to do is have faith in me. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That means how things were created, you'll never know. You'll never, ever know. God began with nothing, thereby speaking into existence the things needed to create the universe. So I ask you, if there was nothing and God spoke into existence the things that were needed to create the universe, can he not speak into existence the things that are needed that you need? But where does faith come from? It is not an invention of man, because it's just not part of our DNA. Faith is a product of God, and it emanates and flows from him. Faith is given to us primarily to carry out the purpose of this creation. If you don't know what you're here for, and you feel like you have no purpose in life, I'm going to give you a key. Mankind was created for God's pleasure, for his honor and his glory. We were not created for our own independent, self-centered existence. We were made in his likeness to be his companion and to have fellowship with God. Amen? When we have our children, we want our children to be in our likeness. And we start out with our children having fellowship. Amen? And we create them, and we want them to look like us. We want to have fellowship with us. And that's what God did. Don't you love it when your children say, you're a good mommy? Don't it just melt your heart? Yeah. Don't it just do things to you? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Don't your mom and your dad feel good when you tell them how great parents they were? How you don't know where you would have been without them? So does our Heavenly Father. Same things we do. But the scripture says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that desperately seek him. So faith is not an option. It's not like we're here in class and we can pick and choose what we want. It's not an elective. It's not an extra. It is essential. It's a necessary a matter of life and death. Faith is like vitamins. It's essential to our well-being. It's like water. We need it to help us to get by. It's help. We need it for our existence. Amen? So how do we get this faith that man did not invent, that man didn't manufacture? We can only get it from that one source that's available. God gives it to us. That means that everybody sitting here right now, when you were born, God dealt you a degree of faith. It's a gift. He gave it to you. He gave you life, health, strength, he gave you faith. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 and 3 says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He also said, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if I tell you about my faith, that's pretty arrogant, because this ain't my faith. I can tell you about my gift that I got from God, to have faith in God. It's not your faith. It's not your life. My life is not my own. Come on, we sing that, right? Come on, we sing that. My life is not my own. I give myself. Your faith is not your own. It was part of the thing that God gave you to have trust in him. It's something that God created in you so you can overcome the evilness of the present day. It's something that God planted in you that you can overcome the devil. It's like a key ingredient. There goes that word, that key. The key ingredient to overcoming the devil. Faith is something that we have. It's not to be collected. It's not to be displayed up here like, oh, here's my faith. It's not the kind of faith God is talking about. Faith must be used. Faith is not passive, it's active. Faith is an energy, it's a force, it is a spirit. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the thing that empowers us to move and take action. It is the thing that takes us somewhere. Faith is an action thing. It is a verb. It is action. If you don't have faith, you don't do nothing. But faith allows you to move. Faith allows you to say, I'm going to change my life and give it to the Lord. Faith says, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to go out, even though I don't know where I'm going. Faith takes you to talk to somebody that needs talking to, that needs a kind word. And you didn't even know it, but God instilled or made through the Spirit, moved something that you have the faith to approach somebody. I often hear my wife say, I don't know why, but something inside told me to come speak to you. Maybe you've experienced it. Something inside told me to come pray with you. Something inside told me to call you. Something inside told me to come visit you. It is the faith that you have in Jesus Christ, moving the Spirit inside, that you take action. Because without that faith, you're not calling. You're not going. You're not doing anything. Faith is an action word. Faith is going to take us someplace. So listen to the steps of faith. We begin with no faith. Mark says, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Beginners coming into church, their faith is small. They don't believe the things that God is going to do in their life. But how is it that they have no faith? It's because they are a beginner. But when we come to Christ, our spirits are born again. God puts a little portion of that faith. He activated in us. Because without faith, you wasn't going to get saved. Amen? Ephesians says, for by grace we are saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then we have a little faith. The scripture says, and he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Let me tell you about these people he's saying these things to. Then he arose. This is the scripture. Then he arose, and then he rebuked the winds and the waves. So he had the disciples with him. They seen him do just teaching. He was just teaching. He was just feeding multitudes. They said, how are you going to do it? You got two fish, five loaves, thousands of people. How are you going to do it? And he did it. But that did not convince them because their faith was still small. So when they got in the boat and they started doing like this, he says, oh, ye of little faith. So the disciples had a little faith. Amen? Then there's increasing faith. The scripture says, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labor, but having hope that when your faith is increased. That means day by day living and serving Christ builds an experience hope. And hope is like a breadbasket that continually gets filled with more and more faith. Then you have strong faith. In Romans 4 and 20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see, faith destroys unbelief and fear. Amen? And then you have great faith. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee that thou as it will, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. See, this woman whose daughter needed to be made whole, she didn't have a little faith. She didn't have increasing faith. She didn't have strong faith, but she had great faith. There are steps of increasing faith that has to happen as you want and perceive things to be in your life. You have to know that your little faith that you have when you come into, after you get saved, you have to get better faith, greater faith than that. You have to have increasing faith. I said faith is an action word. It's an action thing. It's moving. It's not staying still. So you come in with no faith, but you had a little. Now you got a little faith. Now you have to have increasing faith. Now you have to have good faith and strong faith. But this woman, she had great faith. He said, great, your faith is so great. Your daughter is taken care of. Amen? Amen. Then there's another thing that's full of faith. I know we can't stand people that are full of faith, right? Because when somebody is full of faith, as things as the enemy is throwing rocks and darts and we see it happening to them, ducking and diving and saying, oh, I'm glad that's not me. But when you see a person that's full of faith, as those things are happening, they're just standing there and they're still telling God, I praise you and I thank you in spite of everything that the enemy's throwing my way, because God, you're a great God. I don't know what's going on right now, why they're doing this, but God, you have everything in control and I trust you. Stephen had great faith. He was full of faith. As they were stoning him to death, he was pleasing and praising God and forgiving those people that were stoning him to death. Even as they were stoning him, he kept looking up, because his purpose and what he was looking for was not down here. It was up there. His faith was not in man. His faith was heavenly bound. That's where his faith was. Growing in faith causes you to share what Jesus means. Some of us want to be them hidden Christians. How great is your faith? But when you have your faith is full, you just share what Jesus is doing for you. Because we can be rich in faith. Amen? Having the riches of this world does not give you an overflow of faith. But the Holy Spirit working in us will increase our faith, that we run around and we are rich in faith and we're just like, you know, you see some person, they ain't got nothing, you give them a little something and say, have faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the faith that Jesus can handle it all. When Peter was getting ready to go into the gate to go pray and the beggar was sitting there, he said, silver and gold have I none. But what I got, no, he didn't say what I have. I could see Peter. He said, what I got. What I got. You know me, what I got. If you know what I got. When you're rich in the faith, you got it. You walk around with it. And people want what you got. They don't know what you got, but they want what you got. You ever been in a situation where people want what you got? They're going to want what you got. And it's free. We have to thank God today for what he's doing in the lives of people. Faith is confidence in having what we hope for and what we surely cannot see. So I say to you today, never ever give up on anybody, because nobody's hopeless. You have to trust God for some things that are going to happen in your life. Some of us have been praying and praying and praying. But you don't stop praying. You could be praying for years, but don't give up yet. You need to start praying in faith and expecting God to act. Can I tell you something else? You need to put a level of expectation on your faith. If you don't have no expectations, then what are you having faith in? Have a level of expectation that God is good and he's going to turn this around. He's going to save my son. He's going to save my daughter. He's going to restore my relationship. He's going to heal what the doctor said cannot be healed. He's going to deliver me from the grasp of my enemies. I'm going to walk through the shadow of death, the valley of death, and I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That is faith. Let us stand this morning.